This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
What does excellence look like in MS care in 2025? To help answer that question, I'm talking today with Rachel Hoffman, a clinical nurse specialist in neurology from Rotorua, who also works as a clinical lead for MS New Zealand for two days a week. If you haven't joined us before, my name is Katie Burns and I'm the Community Connector for MS Otago, and this is MS Momentum. So as I said, today I'm talking with Rachel. So thank you, Rachel, for coming and chatting with me today. I really appreciate you giving up your time. I know you're a super busy woman.
Hi, Katie. Thanks for having me. Thanks for inviting me along. It's a pleasure to join you today.
So just to start, can you tell us a little bit about your background in MS and in neurology and about your role within MS New Zealand?
Okay, so I suppose my background in MS and neurology started when I got my clinical nurse specialist job, and that was 7 years ago now. And I must admit that I didn't have much awareness or knowledge about it prior to that. It's been a really steep learning curve, but I've really, really enjoyed and I really love the journey I'm on with MS and with other neurology work that I do. Because prior to that, I was a nurse working on the ward for about 18 years and in ICU. So it was a bit of a shift, but it's a shift that reflecting on it, I've been looking for, and it feels permanent. Like, I love what I'm doing now.
Yeah, nice. It's awesome. Oh, great. So you've got a lot of years of experience as a nurse and then 7 in kind of the neurology space.
Yeah. I've been nursing, I think, now for around 22, maybe nearing on 23 years, straight out of school pretty much. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Couldn't possibly be true because you still look 21.
Thanks. Very kind of you. I'll take it.
You'll take it. Dishing out the compliments today.
Yeah.
And so last year you started in a part-time role with MS New Zealand as a clinical lead. And that's a new role to you, but a new role to MS New Zealand as well, I know. If you want to maybe tell us a little bit about that role and how that kind of complements your other work.
The role came up and I thought I was really happy with what I was doing full time at the hospital, but I just thought, how often does an opportunity like this come along where I could step outside of the hospital work and sort of do something, get another perspective and a national perspective at that. You know, you sort of work and live in your silos. So I gave it a shot and I'm incredibly grateful for having the opportunity and for this role. I really think that it's an amazing organisation to work for. I'm really enjoying the work amongst the regions. Again, find this as a permanent shift. I'm really, really happy where I am with this role. I can see there's so much scope to do and I just love the people I'm working with.
I can say from my perspective as a community advisor that it's been, really like quite a shift to have someone with a clinical lens in the, MS New Zealand team, and it's been really great to know that, there's someone there that if that kind of higher level stuff that I don't understand comes up.
I'm not the authority on MS in New Zealand, and I don't ever sell myself as such. Like, there are some amazing people that I work with in that role as well, or in that, and I'm always reaching out for extra support and extra advice and help. But it's nice, and I think I'm hopeful that having that clinical role with a foot in both camps, a few other connections, that I can yeah, support the regions better with that sort of clinical oversight and MSNZ itself. So it's lovely to get that feedback that you've noticed that. So thank you for that.
Yeah. No,
it's what I stand for. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been great. And I think it's really important that you do still have like a role within the health system as well. And I think, I think it puts you in quite a unique position to be able to kind of walk both of those worlds.
Yeah, I think the roles both work really well together. I wouldn't like to not have my clinical role. It really, really, they really support each other well.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm, yeah. And so you've been in, I guess, the neurology space for about 7 years. What changes have you seen over that time? And I talk all the time about how the MS landscape has changed significantly in kind of the last 20 years. But even in the last 7 years, there's been quite a lot of changes within that time, even though it's quite short in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, definitely, even in the last 7 years, there's a lot of change. I know that we haven't had a huge amount of change as far as treatments becoming available, but I'm hoping we're on the verge of that getting better in the future. It's the steep learning curve to start with has never kind of tapered off. Like, I'm always having to keep up with what's new, what's coming, what the best advice is. There is so much work being done around MS and all the different kind of complexities of MS. I see a lot of work in the background going on for progressive forms of MS. It's definitely something that I know for the population, for people that have progression, it's really hard because there seems like there's nothing out there. And they're not wrong. There's not a lot at the moment. But it's something that is the workforce, the doctors, the researchers, everybody is focused on. It is something that is having a lot of thought and having a lot of time put into it. And I think that's really exciting. And that's, for me, why I feel like this is a permanent shift for me. I'm never going to be bored, that's for sure, because everything is always moving on. Even things like the research around exercise and how that can be disease modifying and how everybody's picking up on that now, and everywhere you hear about exercise for people with MS, once upon a time and not that long ago, it was discouraged. Mm. Whereas at any EDSS, there are recommendations for exercise. And that brings in a whole nother group of people that once upon a time, you couldn't offer them an option or, you know, something that might improve their life or what's going on for them.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree, and I really hope that, there does seem to be that sort of shift into more of a focus into the progressive forms of MS. It kind of feels like the research community has gone, okay, we've got all these wonderful things for relapsing remitting MS, which is great. Like, that is still a huge game changer for a lot of people. Yeah. But now kind of, seeing some of that shift into, well, also these progressive types of MS and what can we do about that?
And what's heartening in that for me is that, people don't, nobody's sort of resting on their laurels. Nobody's sort of dusting their hands and patting themselves on the back and thinking, we've got this sussed now. Because, they've made massive improvement in people's lives with relapsing forms and others, but you can see they're not, there's always that striving for now, what can we do? What's next? What haven't we achieved?
Yeah.
So I think that's a really heartening thing for people, for me working in the field. And I hope that that's something that we can translate and improve people's lives going forward.
Yeah. And like, I mean, I have conversations with people, like very often, people who were diagnosed 30 years ago had a very different conversation with their neurologist than anyone who was diagnosed in the last 5-10 years kind of thing. It's really, really interesting. And like you said, exercise was discouraged. People were discouraged from having children. People were discouraged from doing lots of things that now we can be like, actually, it is safe to do those things. And in some cases, even beneficial, you know, when we talk about exercise and all that sort of stuff. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's hard, I guess, for people that were in that situation 30 years ago. But, you know, we didn't know better and we now know better and we do better, or we try to do better and we need to do better. So I think that's what kind of keeps us going, doesn't it? And keeps the fire going.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's the thing, as long as we're always striving for better and learning to do more and to do better for the people who have MS and their families and everything else as well, then that's part of the goal.
And I have to say, that attitude and that striving for better, it just transcends every kind of pocket that I see. You know, the community workforce, they inspire me all the time with their innovation and their desire to just do better and have better outcomes for the people they support. And that goes sort of right across the board with anybody that works in these services. So it's just impressive every day to see. I love it.
Yeah, it is. It is awesome that, you always know there's this huge group of people absolutely going to bat for people in our community. Like you said, across the landscape, whether that's health or community work or, you know, exercise or anything. It's just, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We're just going to take a super quick air break and we'll be right back.
MS Otago aims to empower people with multiple sclerosis and their support networks by providing them with information and skills to participate actively in the community in ways that are meaningful to them. You can find us at Dunedin Community House and online at msotago.org.nz, or you can give us a call on 027 889 9035. MS Otago, working for the people of Otago.
If you are just joining us, my name is Katie Burns. I'm the Community Connector for MS Otago. And today I'm talking with Rachel Hoffman, who is a clinical nurse specialist in neurology from Rotorua and also a clinical lead for MS New Zealand. So before the ad, we were just talking about Rachel's background and how the MS landscape has changed in the time that Rachel's been doing her role. And so, Rachel, with that kind of stuff in mind, what does excellence in MS care look like in 2025?
As you said, it's a changing landscape, and I think we're always sort of moving forward and we have to run to keep up sometimes. So I think the excellence looks like continuing to strive for that best standard of care, early recognition, early diagnosis, an increased awareness among healthcare professionals, so that people that come, you know, have that awareness, come to see somebody, they are treated and assessed well. Because we know that, you know, with early diagnosis and early treatment, and not just disease-modifying therapies, but with the whole sort of package and managing comorbidities, it just improves outcomes for people. And that's what we all want, and increases independence. So I think continuing to understand that now MS is incredibly treatable, people can live with it successfully, and while there are challenging times, there are ways to get through that, and making sure that we keep pushing for better service, better recognition, better understanding.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that information is so critical. MS is, as you know, can be really difficult to diagnose, because like I always say, you know, almost every symptom of MS could be a symptom of something else, right? And especially with, I guess, I know here in Otago, with our GP system being, you know, the way it is, you don't always see the same GP, and so you might be going to one GP and then in 8 months' time you go to another GP with something else, and it's not always as easy to connect the dots as perhaps it was in the past, where you've got that kind of continuity of care within the GP practice.
I know
it's super tricky.
Absolutely, and that is a focus for us at MSNZ, is that GP contact, because it is often the first point of contact that people have with these symptoms. And so GPs are under incredible pressure and strain, and they're amazing people as well, but they are working in a very stressed situation at the moment. And so what is it? We're looking at what we can do to make it easy, you know, make things easier, make things a little bit more straightforward, so that they can do what they need to do and move to the next steps of, you know, making a good referral. So that, yeah, that's definitely something we're working on in the background, particularly in the next phase, in the next 12 months, is looking at that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's really, really, really important. And as this plays, we're right in the middle of Awareness Week, so MS Awareness Week, which is running from the 15th to the 21st of September. So imagine we're going to be seeing some things from MS New Zealand throughout Awareness Week. What are some of those things that we might be able to see?
So we're expanding on the message about, you know, about brain health and time matters. So we're looking to raise the awareness of those early signs and symptoms of MS, what they could look like and what you need to do about them. Of course, understanding that we need to do that background work with the GPs as well. But it's about the communities kind of feeling confident, or people in the community feeling confident to not brush aside their symptoms like they used to. We know that more women are affected by MS than not, and there can be a tendency, especially women who are busy and they've got households and they've got families and they're working and carrying all that mental load, can just tend to carry on and put things aside. And also when they go to their GP with a symptom of, you know, some numbness or tingling, that could be minimized sometimes. So it's around sort of empowering people to be able to, first of all, be brave enough to go and see their GP and do some, you know, at least have it on record, and then to be able to follow up, and also family members to be able to support people with symptoms that they're concerned about.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we talked a little bit before about, I guess, some of the challenges in terms of getting to the point of diagnosis. But when we think about, I guess, excellence in MS care, what are some of the challenges that you see, or that you are aware of, I guess, in the community in getting to that point where everyone is having an excellence in MS care experience?
There's multiple challenges because, as you said, it's a complex diagnosis to come to. So there's many, many points that people have to get through. So there are challenges with people recognising their symptoms and being able to see their GP. And then there's challenges with GPs recognising those symptoms as well as being significant. And then there's challenges with access to a neurology referral or to making a really good neurology referral. And don't get me wrong, it's everybody wants to be doing the right things. The GP does want to be doing the right things, and the neurologists do as well. But with the system that we're under, we have to prioritise things. So, yeah, the more awareness we have and the more people that we can help along the way to make sure that they are thinking, this could be MS, how do I do this right so that we remove some of those challenges, I think we'll improve things for people. But then as well as on a advocacy kind of point of view nationally, is trying to advocate for the workforce challenges as well. And, you know, it's well acknowledged that there's a critical shortage of neurologists. And that affects not just people with MS, but any neurological condition. So we're always at the front of and take every opportunity we can to work on improving those aspects of removing barriers for people to get to the diagnosis.
Yeah, and it's very tricky. And, you know, I know almost the whole neurology team here in Otago, and they're all fantastic. And I know lots of GPs, and they're all fantastic. But it's really, really hard. Fortunately, we are working within a stretched health system. Yeah.
We are. Yes, we are. But, you know, and just making things easier, you know, like it's if you can wrap up a diagnosis quicker and get someone on treatment, it's good news for you, for the person, but it's also really good news for the service too, you know. So it's trying to make sure we oil all those joints and see where we can get the movement.
Yeah, amazing. We are unfortunately out of time, but thank you for talking with me today. It was really, really informative and really great to hear what MS New Zealand is doing, as well as your role within neurology and your area. If people are interested in learning more about the Awareness Week campaign, about MS in general, about the work that MS New Zealand does, where is there a website they can go to learn more?
Yeah, we have our website, the MSNZ website, and it is under development, so we will be launching something new very soon, so keep an eye out. Actually, we may have already launched it. We'll be launching it very, very soon. So I encourage everyone to go and check that out. Check out our socials as well on Instagram and Facebook for the Awareness Week posts that we have, and there are links directly there to the Awareness Week campaign information as well. So keep an eye out for us, save us on your socials and reach out to us.
Perfect. And so that website is msnz.org.nz,
yes,
I believe.
Yeah.
Yes. Perfect.
Yeah.
And on the socials, I believe it's Multiple Sclerosis Society of New Zealand, if people are searching it up.
I'm a great one for Googling. I just Google the thing and find it. So don't remember the names off by heart. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Google's always a good
New Zealand on Instagram, if you look for that.
Perfect. Thank you again, Rachel, for chatting with me today. It's been really great.
Oh, awesome, Katie. Thanks for your time.
You've been listening to MS Momentum, brought to you on the third Wednesday of the month by me, Katie Burns, Community Connector for MS Otago. You can listen again to this episode and find other podcasts from this series at oar.org.nz and on your favourite podcast platforms. To contact MS Otago, you can email info@msotago.org.nz or call us on 027 889 9035. Thanks for listening.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.